This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in for just the day. Dana is back tomorrow. Thrilled to be with you. Lots of stuff to talk about. Of course, you can find Dana at danaradio.com. You can follow her on social media, DLOESCH or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter. On X. A bunch of ways to get to her. All right, let's start off here. Big news today. Of course, Trump's bond has now been reduced to $175 million. At least we're $500 million now, disappeared there. Still a ridiculous Dr. Evil amount of money. Let's see if we can get a little bit of audio in here to do the breaking news, I think, from Fox right when they said it.
And just now, a New York appeals court has agreed to slash the amount of the bond that Donald Trump must post to cover a $454 million civil fraud verdict.
By the way, I wish that the judge or someone in New York had done it like used car style, like slash, slash, slash. Now it's only $175 million. Everything's way easier and better. Trump, of course, went off saying that the whole thing is a ridiculous witch hunt and it's crazy and this needs to go away sooner rather than later. It is also insane. And I know I think Jonathan Turley and some others have said there's no way they believe that they're actually going to go after Trump's assets and start trying to sell them off, probably for a variety of reasons. But the attorney general and others in New York have embarrassed themselves tremendously. Here's a little bit of what Turley actually said today, talking about how big of a slap this is to the New York legal system itself. Not saying that that's really all that shocking when you're releasing people hours after they brutally attack other individuals. The New York legal system probably was already not doing well, but here we go.
Said, look, this has really done great damage to the New York legal system and how it's perceived internationally. This is thrilling for many people in New York who, after all, elected James on a pledge to bag Trump for something. So This is obviously playing well to the New York base. But outside New York, and particularly international businesses, are looking at this, I think, with a degree of horror that a judge could come up with a figure so large you have to sell parts of your business just to get an appeal.
Yeah, just to make sure to prevent an appeal, actually, or to make it as difficult as possible to go through the process of trying to fight it. And I do love some of the other takes out there, like one from one of the hosts of Shark Tank, that essentially says that, hey, if you do this to Trump, you can literally do this to anyone in the real estate business or several businesses, because the game is to make sure to get the highest valuation for your company, for your assets as possible, and then try to have the bank fight back with you. There's literally no victim. The banks weren't upset. You know all this stuff. It's just crazy to see the number get reduced to $175 million. And that seemed like some sort of win for the person who's still winning most polls to be the next president of the United States. How odd would that be if Trump is elected to president and he also is still fighting Letitia James for control of, say, Mar-a-Lago? And I do love the way that they talked about the multiple million dollars they would get for it, way more than what they valued it at during the court proceeding. Speaking of legal people or, attorney generals and whatnot that have egg on their face, that have looked very dumb in the way in which they've gone after Trump. Fani Willis, of course, out of Georgia, is another big name that comes to mind. And my favorite thing is that trending over the weekend on X, on social media, was actually the phrase Fani Willis drunk, because people thought that there's no way that she could have possibly said these things sober, or no way that she could possibly say these things and mean them, about the lack of impact that has been had on her career, on her reputation, because of, well, secretly dating the guy who you hire to be in charge of the case going after Trump and many others, and then claiming you paid him in cash that was hidden in your house for a vacation. She has a vacation house fund somewhere that's just always available. But here's a little bit of what she said, I think, to CNN over the weekend.
I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Let's say it for the record. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. I guess my greatest crime is I had a relationship with a man, but that's not something that I find embarrassing.
Yeah, that's not your greatest crime, by the way, but continue.
Anyway, and I know that I have not done anything that's illegal. And so I don't feel like my reputation...
Illegal according to who? Because there are people that feel like maybe you did. Fine, keep going.
Needs to be reclaimed. And when I tell you the outpouring of women, and I'll tell you this, especially African-American women who will just say, we are so proud. You are such a good representative of us. But I would be lying to say it's only African-American women. I have had Caucasian women, Asian women, Indian women.
All the women have been reaching out to her and telling her how great of a job she's doing. And they all want to grow up to be like her someday. Someone who, again, hides money in your house for vacation use. Not a secret stash in case everything goes to heck and the whole world is at a, you know, apocalypse style moment. But if you're going to go on a secret vacation with a dude that you're dating, not telling anyone about, even though you're not embarrassed by that. I love every part of this. And I love that most in the internet world thought she had to be hammered in order to say that stuff. It, you know what I'll say about it? It demonstrates one of two things. I believe that they're lying and they know they're lying, as you do, as anybody does. But I accept that there's an alternative, that they actually are this out of touch with reality, this self-obsessed, this whatever you want to call it, that they actually can believe, and not just Fonnie Willis, a whole bunch of people in the world of politics, in a lot of the places we talk about in the news all the time. But they can be so self-absorbed that no matter what occurs, they think of it like, yeah, for me, this isn't so bad. For me, this looks okay. For me, everybody's happy. And I'm sure there are people that are telling her she's terrible. She sucks. She's the worst and should, you know, quit her job. She's tuning all that out and telling you that there's somebody somewhere that's saying that she's a role model that they look up to. All right. Another big thing out there in the world, something that I think definitely deserves more attention than the Biden administration wanted it to get, than probably a lot of people are trying to, you know, prevent it from being a big topic. But this red flag operation and this violation of Second Amendment rights is really, truly terrifying. It immediately reminded me of all the other times the government promised to us that they want to set up a task force or a team, a committee, something, and they want to use it to better improve the resources. I think that's usually the phrase they use, something like that, for everyone else everywhere in the country. And so through that task force, then they essentially become Big Brother and they do whatever they want. And we've seen time and again where this goes bad. The FBI identified people of certain faiths, Catholic faith among them, as extremists, and then admitted to that. There's so many moments where the government creates the thing, immediately makes it the worst possible version of the thing because they seem to love to do that, and then tell you to your face, hey, why are you complaining? This is great. This is fine. The vice president even went out and bragged about this. I think this was in Florida when she was talking about this. The National Resource Center for Red Flag Laws. I'm sure nothing could possibly go wrong there. Here we go.
The second reason I am here is to announce that today I am launching the National Resource Center for Red Flag Laws. And this National Resource Center will be a place where we will, through that, provide for training for local leaders on how to use red flag laws and keep communities safe.
Take away guns. We're going to train as many local leaders as we can to figure out all the ways to take away guns. I know Dana was out tweeting today, or Xing, whatever it's called now, about how there are corrupt cops, and corrupt cops will use systems against you, just like corrupt anyone else will. Obviously, I'm a huge supporter, of cops, and by and large, this is not true, but they are not a perfect industry or a perfect organization where no one would go the wrong way given more power, and you'll see that in a lot of places. But here's the thing I can't get over. In the press conference itself, where the vice president is talking about creating this national resource, she has behind her a family, well, a mother and father, and they're holding up a picture of a daughter that they lost to gun violence. And obviously the goal here is to manipulate you, me, anyone emotionally. But I actually feel bad for the people that are victims of any of these things in our society that are then propped up by the politician, because these individuals standing behind the vice president believe that gun law changes might actually have prevented the very tragic loss of a family member. And you and I know that's not true. They know, the politicians know it's not true. I think it's only some people in our country, people who've never fired a gun, have no idea what the value of that right is, have no interest in ever exploring it, which is insane, or people who might truly believe that their emotional, toll, their emotional damage, their loss of someone can all be fixed by making something illegal. And I'm sure you've heard it before. This is the most basic of takes on this topic, but murdering someone is also illegal. So you would think that someone who's willing to do that won't care if they get a second charge for the gun being illegal. And the bigger problem is that all of a sudden you have way more Americans who are law-abiding citizens who would use a gun in self-defense that are trying to be prevented from having it. And then you have what's going on in Canada, what's going on in definitely parts of that country, bigger cities, where cops are now telling people to leave the keys to their car outside of their house. This is real, and you've probably seen it over the last couple weeks. The reason why is that carjackings and home burglaries are so bad that essentially people are told, you can't defend yourself, you might as well accept it, just leave the keys outside and hope the burglar doesn't come indoors. That's insane, and that's exactly why the United States and the Second Amendment exists the way it does, to give you the ability to defend yourself if you're ever put in a situation where you need to defend yourself. We don't want to become that insane version of things going on in the world. There is one more topic. I know this was kind of rapid fire. I will break these down a little more as we go today. But I did think it was interesting that a whole bunch of Democrats, well, actually all the Democrats, voted against essentially preventing the Biden administration from paying for flights for illegal immigrants to American communities. You know why this matters so much? And I loved even somebody trying to like slap away this idea and say, how dare you? This isn't going on. But if you dive just a little deeper into a lot of this information, you see how quickly and how bad this whole situation can go, or is already going. How many different organizations are actually using taxpayer dollars to make these trips possible and then claiming that they're not doing it and then voting against a provision that would actually have prevented it in the first place. Essentially, they're putting ink all over their faces and telling you, hey, stop worrying about this thing that we definitely want people to stop talking about because we're absolutely doing it and doing it all the time. I'll get into that more, but the discussion and the Senate and how Democrats voted on essentially preventing your money and my money from doing a thing we definitely don't want it to do, moving immigrants around on planes, is one of the latest versions of just look with your eyes and you see the truth. You don't have to try that hard, but yet they're counting on a lot of us not to do it. All right, quick break. A lot coming up on the show. Craig Collins filling in. This is the Dana Lash Show, the Dana Show, more in a bit.
Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Field of Greens. Look, you need to eat X amount of vegetables and all of that stuff every day. You need to eat X amount of nutrients, and you know this, but sadly, most people are not getting that every day. And this is where Field of Greens comes in. It's not a supplement. This is nutrition the way nature intended, 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. It's real organic superfood loaded with antioxidants, fiber, and prebiotics, and it was all formulated by a team of physicians. And you have one scoop mixed with 8 ounces of water because they put it all into a powder, and you can make it into a smoothie, put it into fruit juice, milk, non-dairy, water, whatever. And this is the easiest way, instead of sitting there eating all your veggies, this is the easiest way to get all of those nutrients. And you'll love it. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money back guarantee, which, I mean, why wouldn't you not love it? I would much rather do this than sit and eat like a whole plate of, I actually like broccoli, but I hate carrots. And I don't want to, but this, I'll eat them if they're in this. So to start, Field of Greens is going to give you 15% off plus free rush shipping. Make sure you use promo code Dana, though, to get that. So visit fieldofgreens.com, use promo code Dana, and make sure you get that free rush shipping and 15% off your first order. Trust Field of Greens for better health.
Real wealth takes time and effort. Don't look for a quick and easy way to make a buck. The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. Internet scammers are posing as billionaires to try and give you financial advice with captions about where you should invest your money. Be careful of anything you read online. Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's the Dana Quick Five. My name is Craig Collins, filling in on the Dana Show. Thrilled to be with you. I'm going to do a twofer in here. I think I have two that are very similar stories, so I'm counting that as just one. But first, let's do this. A 35-year-old math teacher in Dallas decided he's running for president, and he thinks that you'll vote for him because you don't want to vote for Biden or for Trump. I've rejected a part of this narrative. I know a lot of people say this all the time, that we're sick of these two options, that it's same old, same old. But I think everything that's going on with Trump, whether it's the legal challenges or trying to remove him, literally remove him from ballots, I think it makes people much more invigorated to support that candidate than anyone that's trying to support, well, the idiot that's in the White House right now. So I reject a part of this narrative, but if you're a person that feels this way, apparently a guy wants to pull a Brewster's Millions and get you to vote for anybody else. And so he's actually changed his name to be literally anybody else. Here we go.
Literally anybody else? Yeah. That's my name. My name is literally anybody else, and I'm running for president of the United States. You know, it's not necessarily about me as a person, but it's about literally anybody else as an idea. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, they're under it would be literally anybody else.
Let's do this as best we can. This is the same version of what you see in actual politics with people attacking each other instead of telling you any platform they have, just going even crazier. And again, it was done better by Richard Pryor, so really don't do it. All right, I have two billboard stories. I'm calling this a twofer. You have a guy that was pranked via, I guess, escalating office craziness. And they put up a cheese billboard. That's actually what people are looking up. It says, this man consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year, and he cannot be stopped. This is obviously a joke, a prank. It's sort of stupid in a lot of ways. But they tracked down Jake Laws, the guy who's the cheese billboard dude. And here's what he said about all the pranks and how bad they've gotten.
It started out as a small little prank battle between me and my coworker Jonathan. We have pulled pranks on each other for quite a bit now. And I saw some of my coworkers wearing these shirts. It says 20 gallons and unstoppable. Of course, those are clues to the billboard that I had no idea was happening. Come to find out, the billboard was up. He comes up with very elaborate pranks.
Yeah, and he spends lots and lots of money and lots of his time on it. They compared them to Jim and Dwight from The Office. The reality is that when you do something this hard with this much effort, it actually is way less hilarious than when it happens in a TV show and you don't see the effort part. One other one in the world of billboard stories. I don't think we're going to get to five this first try. A restaurant owner or a brand new restaurateur put up a billboard that said literally, "Hey, Sophia, you broke up with me because I was poor. Now I have money to open a Korean barbecue. Are you regretting it now?" It's a real billboard. It's in Australia. No idea if the restaurant will be good or successful. Don't want to tell the guy a lot of those restaurants don't make it. But darn it, it doesn't matter. It's not important. He's got the revenge billboard out there, so he's proud and happy with himself. All right, quick break. A lot coming up on the show. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I'd like to introduce you to my friends over at American Financing, a trusted family-owned mortgage company with a rich 25-year history. Now, American Financing specializes in helping homeowners like yourself save an average of $854 per month by leveraging their home's equity to eliminate high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates currently at historically low levels in the fives, there's never been a better time to explore your options. A quick 10-minute call to their team of salary-based mortgage consultants can reveal just how much you stand to save. And best of all, American Financing operates with transparency, never charging any upfront fees, and they may even offer the flexibility to delay two mortgage payments. Reach out today to American Financing at 866-574-2500 or visit their website at AmericanFinancing.net. Call 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back tomorrow. Don't worry, I won't be here long for anyone that gets upset with me. Lots of stuff to talk about, of course. First, let's play a little bit of Trump audio. Walking out of a courtroom saying this is a witch hunt, this is a hoax, which, of course, a lot of this stuff feels like it is. This is after a judge decided to keep a trial date for the hush money payments case that you really feel already happened a few years ago. You don't really understand how this thing is still going on now. The Stormy Daniels conversation, all that stuff. But here's what Trump said, and it was very brief and actually, I think, fairly effective. Here we go.
Thank you very much, everybody. Are you getting a podcast?
This is a witch hunt. It's a hoax. Thank you.
This is a witch hunt. This is a hoax. See ya. Adios. Actually, he also was asked in front of a different courtroom about the $175 million that he'll now have to pay in collateral. And he said that he's going to be able to put that in cash into somebody's hand in order to appeal his case also in New York about the, you know, wrongdoings with him or his company as far as inflating his net worth, his business's worth, all just kind of crazy stuff, according to most people. Here we go.
What's your collateral for the bond? Cash.
I do really love that. He's like, what's your collateral for this? Oh, what's that? Cash. I'll just go ahead and write a check to somebody who needs a check. Now, of course, I'm sure some media will say that's not true. He doesn't have that, whatever it is. I don't care. I just think it's interesting that that narrative is so necessary for so much of media, that Trump is really broke. And anybody that votes for him because they think he's a successful businessman is someone who's wrong, et cetera, et cetera. You remember they did this with the taxes thing where he was hiding his taxes and we definitely wouldn't want to see them because once we did, bad stuff would be all over it. And that was the most nothing burger story ever. When taxes actually eventually came out, no one had any real good insight into any wrongdoing there. All right, let's move on to this. The United Nations Security Council passed a resolution that demands an immediate Hamas-Israel ceasefire and a release of hostages. This is the latest in a step up in continuing to demand that Israel do something that Israel is adamant it doesn't want to do. And more importantly, the Israeli people are adamant they don't want to see Israel do, which of course would be to give Hamas more time to plan a next terrorist attack. I mention this every time I talk about this story. I kind of feel like a broken record about this. But the truth is that Hamas attacked Israel at a time when they were in a ceasefire. That's something that seems to be lost on people. So going back to some sort of ceasefire won't mean anything to the terrorist organization that Israel is trying to fight. And the Israeli people are begging their leaders to fight and actually likely will remove Netanyahu from power once the entire conflict is over, not before, like Chuck Schumer wants, because of his failure to prevent the October attack in the first place. But nonetheless, these moves, these demands are playing into the hands of Hamas, who has put people in harm's way, in danger, on purpose to make that the focal point, to make that the conversation. And granted, it is a tragedy. People, innocent women and children, whatever the exact phrasing that gets used and honestly gets created by Hamas and then spread throughout the world, is in fact horrible. I'll say that, you'll say that, anyone will say that. But Hamas has done this by design, and essentially they're winning a PR fight against Israel, and it's sort of insane to see. But this is the latest move there. We also have a 60 Minutes interview. The Mexican cartels are, of course, producing and moving fentanyl into our country. And one of the more shocking things in an interview with AMLO, the president of Mexico, is that he essentially blamed the United States for this problem. He said, it's not on me. It's on you guys. We have a better system than you do in Mexico. And I'm sure a lot of people would object to this. But here it is.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Or rather, they don't have all the information because fentanyl is also produced in the United States.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico. And the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
Okay, here's a thing. A lot of things, actually, that I want to react to this. And I'm married to a Mexican woman, by the way. I spend a lot of time in Mexico. I know that that sounds like I'm saying out loud, hey, I have a black friend, before I say something that seems inappropriate for a white guy to say. But it's true. I have a deep appreciation for a country that I've been to many times, even lived in for multiple months at a time. And I will tell you that drugs are a problem in Mexico. Cartels are a problem in Mexico. It's a business opportunity to sell drugs to other people, more so than what you see in the United States, which is people who are users of drugs. The cartels run everything. Cartels kill politicians every election cycle because they don't want people in power. They kill them as they're running for office. There's a myriad of examples of this. I would not, if I were the president of that country, stand on some sort of hill, die on some sort of hill, claiming that things are better where we are than where you are. And also when they talk about the process and the different ways in which they try to prevent stuff from coming into their country in the first place, AMLO is openly admitting that fentanyl is created in Mexico from things that are brought in from China. So obviously that plan is failing. But it is a problem that the United States needs to address differently than we've addressed it so far. And we need to be stronger with, honestly, every world leader. These moments where these other, heads of states or people in positions of power say these damaging things about the United States to American press is an example of how little everyone fears the current president. I know it's a basic take. I know you've heard it before, but it's true. If Mexico actually was afraid, or AMLO, that the United States would take aggressive action for him claiming that it's our fault and not their fault that so much fentanyl is crossing the border into our country, they wouldn't say these things. They would behave differently. Trump, of course, famously said Mexico is going to pay for the wall, which, of course, didn't happen yet. Who knows? I don't know what will happen there. But again, I think the way that you get any semblance of anything from these politicians that you're essentially opposing in these other countries, even ones that are supposed to be our friends, is by being much stronger than our commander in chief is. We know it. You know it. You see it every day. You see it all the time. So it seems to make no sense for them to be essentially saying, we're not afraid of you anymore. And then our leaders to be like, all right, that's fine. We'll go ahead and move on from there. One last thing. I do want to play this too. I found this very interesting. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Every Senate Democrat voted against an amendment that would stop the Biden administration from using taxpayer dollars to chart flights from hundreds of thousands, for hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from their countries directly into the United States. This is something that is going on. This is something that easily is demonstrated through how money gets filtered into different organizations that is, in fact, taxpayer dollars that eventually goes to paying for these flights, regardless of if any document anywhere says that they're supposed to book the flights themselves when coming into our country illegally or coming to our country, whatever way they're doing it. It is interesting because they know, you know, and most of us know that is essentially a mirage, and hiding behind the scenes is all the stuff that the Republicans are saying is happening. And Democrats are like, stop it. Even though, again, they all voted against this. I have some audio of them actually saying no to this bill, which I thought was interesting.
In order to consider my very simple and reasonable amendment, it's vital that the Senate must move the Democrat leader's blocking amendment out of the way in order to move forward with my amendment. Let me cut through the procedural language here.
Do it.
I'm bringing forward a vote on a very simple question. Do you support American taxpayer dollars being used to fly illegal immigrants from countries like Venezuela and Haiti?
Here's the thing I like so much about this, by the way, is so often I ask, and a lot of people ask, the politicians to just do one thing. Don't give us a government spending bill that's over $1 trillion that has a bunch of stuff hidden in it that we're going to find later and be mad about, including stuff that apparently even the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, was happy about. But it does seem like very hollow victories, if victories at all, some of those things. And one of those, an example, if you don't know, is that they're going to ban freedom flags, LGBTQ flags, from being placed in certain government areas. That was the hollow win in the $1.2 trillion spending bill that happened. But what I love about this is that you're essentially asking a very simple question to politicians. Hey, we're going to talk about one issue. We're going to vote on one issue. And you're going to tell the American people what you think about just this. We're not going to put a bunch of other stuff attached to it so that when you vote no, we can lie about what it is you didn't like about the bill. And every Senate Democrat goes, we're not doing this. We're not accepting this. If it's not happening, which is what they claim, then why not just vote for it? I feel like that makes it go away. That makes the guy in the corner who's yelling be quiet. If you just go, all right, fine, give Frank what he wants. But essentially, that's not what they did because they know what's actually going on. I do love that story, too, though. I couldn't get over it and how easy it is to see this stuff if you are looking even a little bit at all. All right. One last thing I want to say, and this is more going back to the witch hunt hoax stuff that Trump said, or even the $175 million bond adjustment, bringing it from $500 million about to $175 million, which Trump said he'd pay for in cash. What I found so interesting about all these things is you'd struggle to actually believe that this stuff is real, that it's happening in our society, if you weren't watching for the last couple of years. If we didn't go through COVID, I guess is another good example for how things can go crazy. And so it reminded me of something. There's a U.S. News article. I think this was from like the middle of last year, from, say, July of 2023, talking about how the biggest nightmare for our political cycle in 2024 was going to be artificial intelligence and the fake videos that they can create, the stuff that gets put out in the world that looks very convincing, that's not real at all. I agree that's a problem. I agree we need to pay attention to that. But what's really shocking to me, or really remarkable to me, is that reality is so nuts right now. Things are so crazy that AI isn't even needed. We're months in. We're in the end of March of 2024 now. And as I said, U.S. News put that out 8, 9, 10 months ago. And who needs to create the fake stuff? There's so much real stuff going on that seems so confusing to so many and seems to motivate people to vote in different ways that it seems as though this election can be immune to the AI. It won't be, but somewhat immune, because you can't make up a worse version of things than what reality already is doing. And that screams something to our society and to the people on these political sides of the aisle that do all this crazy stuff. It screams, pay attention to me. It screams, pay attention to the voter. Pay attention to what matters and stop doing this crazy, ridiculous stuff that feels as though it's just designed, in truth, to motivate more people on both sides to be even further apart or more polarized. Because those who see through the crap, I will say one thing, and those who buy into the crap will say a different thing. And then we'll just fight amongst ourselves. And we'll all be told, by the way, that our vote will protect democracy. If we vote and, you know, it's going the way that they want us to go, whoever it is they are, then we protect a democracy. Otherwise, democracy is going to collapse and the world as we know it is over. And that is a tad bit of an exaggeration, if I do say so myself. Even if I do think it's vitally important to protect a lot of the craziness from continuing to go on, I do also think that the United States won't be over in January of next year, regardless of who gets in the White House, because we do continue to have the right conversations about the crap. We're just not really good at fixing that yet. But at least more Americans, I think, are awake, are woke in the right way, the good version of woke, and paying attention to what's going on more so than they have in years. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in. This is The Dana Show.
Life can be unpredictable. Being prepared with ReadyWise Emergency Food gives you peace of mind knowing you'll have delicious, nutritious meals on hand to feed your family. And they're also great on fishing and hunting trips, hiking adventures, or even last-minute meals. ReadyWise has a huge selection of freeze-dried meals from breakfast to pasta dishes, and you can rest assured that your food will be good to eat when you need it with their 25-year shelf life. ReadyWise is an American company with their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. of A. That means you're supporting American jobs when you choose ReadyWise. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of any regularly priced items. Being prepared with ReadyWise Emergency Food gives you peace of mind knowing you'll have delicious, nutritious meals on hand to feed your family. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of any regularly priced items. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Yes, follow Dana on social media, D-L-O-E-S-C-H, D-Lash on Twitter, or Dana Lash Radio on X. Great ways to stay connected to the show. The Dana Show is on YouTube. It's on Rumble. It's on Facebook. She's all over the place. Dana's amazing, actually. I'm a big fan of her and a lot of the things she says about the Second Amendment and how important those conversations are coming from an expert like Dana. All right, let's do this. A couple silly things. The first of the silly things that I found is a woman who sat in a drive-through parking lot and demanded that someone give her food, even though the restaurant, the fast food place was closed. What I love about this, there's a video out there. And And it's not all that great. You just hear a woman constantly beeping her horn and you hear a dog barking. But what I love about this is a mom who was parked in the parking lot to pick her 16-year-old up from their shift at the fast food restaurant. I'm not even sure which one it is the one who captured all this on video. Someone just broke. They just became unhinged and they thought that just slamming on the horn was the best possible way to get someone to break some rules and give them some food after hours. I can play a little bit so you know how crazy it got. But again, it's just a woman sitting in a car. Lights are still on, but the business definitely is closed. There's a dog in the back seat, and she's just waiting for stuff to go her way, and it's not going her way. Beep number one, sitting there a little bit, thinking to yourself, man, is this going to work? Maybe I'll try it again, and maybe things are going to work out for me now. Here we go. The dog barking in the background. I don't know what that is, by the way. And it goes on for like three more minutes, but it's just a woman who's very, very upset and very, very ridiculous in how she's going about it. I think sometimes we're so angry about so much stuff, whether it's the news of the world, the news in our country, or maybe just crap going on in our lives, that the best way for us to release it is this craziness. And it's definitely not the best way to release it. I just think that's what's happening when a woman sits for several minutes in a drive-thru just laying on a horn and being fully ignored by the teenagers who are getting out of their job. Another story I saw, this was written in the New York Post. I feel like the most obvious thing about this one is that whoever wrote it definitely has a toupee and wants toupees to be cooler than they actually are. But they said the newest hyper-realistic toupee flex is all the rage for young people on social media. This is when you get a very expensive hairpiece that you cover up any of the missing hair with, and it doesn't look like you picked roadkill up on the side of the road like it used to. It looks very convincing, very real, and it costs a ridiculous amount of money. Several thousand dollars at the low end of this thing. I don't know. I'm in my 30s. I'm getting closer to my 40s, and I am not all there with the hair. There's missing pieces, and I think you just got to accept it. Or you go full, you know, hair plug route. I don't think I go toupee route and say that it's some flex because I spent a whole lot of money on it because I threw way more than I should have at something I didn't need for several reasons. But again, apparently that's the claim. And I bet you it was written by a bald guy who just recently bought a toupee. One last thing, just quickly. This story was out there. Bullies in school make more money later in life. I can unpack that for you after the break because it sounds bad, but there's an obvious part to it. That and more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners over at Goldco Precious Metals, they want you to be prepared and understand the IRA field. The gold IRA field can seem confusing, and there's a lot of companies out there, and it's not easy to find one that you trust. So this is why you should turn to Goldco. They make it easy. They have a very unique quality in that they have very thorough information. They have a whole one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that will explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. They make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And this is a very important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy, by the way. No pressure. They have a highest buyback guarantee. You can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as well. And they're incredibly transparent, unmatched customer service. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com and get your free gold kit from Goldco. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver at DanaLikesGold.com.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in for Dana Lash. You can find her everywhere, though. YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347, all via the First TV. You can listen to her 12 to 3 Eastern weekdays on the Audacity app. And also, of course, you can subscribe to her podcasts that are put out rapid speed. So amazing, amazing, all the different stuff you can find Dana at. I'm thrilled to be here for just today. She is back tomorrow. I do think this is interesting. MSNBC had one of their former attorney guest people on to react to the decision that New York is going to reduce the amount of money from almost $500 million that Trump has to put up as a bond in order to fight a lawsuit that a lot of legal experts think is crap. And think that he will get to get overturned in an appeal down to $175 million. Now, this is obviously very upsetting to the MSNBCs of the world. Tristan Snell is the individual getting very upset here. I don't know why I like this so much, but I do, darn it. He doesn't get it. He's finally at a loss to understand how all these terrible, horrible things are happening. He doesn't mean the corruption to go after Trump in the first place. He actually means the reduction of the appeal and the bond amount.
And I honestly, this is so infuriating. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed. I can tell you that much. I mean, David put it well. This is a different process for this person.
Yeah.
We have decided that he gets his own private court of justice.
Yeah, here, let me stop it right there. Let me stop it right there, by the way. And I love that he's going to go into like all the money that Trump has, which feels like it has nothing to do with some of this conversation. But my favorite is that the unfair, one-sided justice of our society overwhelmingly benefits Democrats and overwhelmingly goes after people like Trump, and Trump to a degree we've never seen before in our society. None of this stuff has ever happened to a former president, even though it could have, even though part of the, a classified documents problem is currently going on. And yet Biden is too dumb, I guess, for us to hold him responsible in a courtroom, according to a special counsel there. But I just love this. I love so much that MSNBC is like, ugh. His unique system is so unfair to the rest of us, even though by and large, people are seeing it and viewing it as a demonstration that things unfairly happen within our Justice Department. It's actually causing a lot of black voters to want to support Trump. That's not me being a racist or saying something horrible for anyone that's woke out there and gets mad. It's actually driven by data. People see the mugshot, they see the things that they don't agree with, and individuals who feel like they also have challenges that they can relate to wind up supporting him. And you're seeing that in a lot of places. All right, let's actually play something else that is as delusional to me. AOC was on CNN, MSNBC and CNN audio for you, and she said that the real problem is not that Trump is being treated unfairly, and that politicians and, everyday Americans are seeing that unfair treatment. The problem is that he deserves way worse, I guess. Here we go.
Has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges?
No.
Indictments?
No.
And investigations?
They've not.
This is not about party. This is not about politics. This is about corruption and criminality.
Yeah, this is about corruption and criminality. This is about a lot of the issues that I'm very upset about, which I think is very interesting for AOC to say. She went on to say that Trump essentially created a terrorist attack on the Capitol for the January 6th moment, January 6th riots, whatever you want to call it. What I think is amazing about this is the audio I just played for you by itself could easily sound like AOC is trying to defend Trump, say that it's unfair the way that this system is going against him, that we've never seen it before. But the reality is she's trying to tee herself up for describing how terrible and awful the man is and how that's the only reason any of this stuff is happening, which is amazing. It's an amazing take. It's an idiotic take, but nonetheless, one where she goes as far as to reference terrorism just a moment after that. And I will tell you that the thing that really stood out to me is that when you have a terrorist attack happening somewhere in the world, of course, in Moscow, and then you have a politician referencing terrorism a mere days after that, you would think that they're doing it for some sort of appropriate demonstration of, one horrible thing that just happened that people are paying attention to and some other thing that is comparable. And obviously it's a huge swing and a miss and a huge version of, I would almost be offended if I was anyone that was paying attention to that, that actually is a victim of a real terrorist attack or is paying attention to what's going on in Moscow right now. As, of course, the countries are also arguing as to who did it and why. And ISIS is claiming responsibility, which feels like a failing of the United States again. This is the last thing I'll say about this. I know I just kind of rattled on. But it does feel like a failing of the United States again, because the propping up of ISIS or the failed withdrawal in Afghanistan, whatever you want to say the issue is, the money that got changed to hands more often than it should, seems to be the reason that that organization is capable of either creating or maybe even helping organizations like Hamas, other terrorist groups, do some of the things they're doing. All right, I have to play a little bit of audio, and the singing is in Spanish, and I'll tell you what they're saying. I just love this so much. So our vice president visited Puerto Rico, and I don't love all the objections from the woke people who are yelling at the vice president and demanding a ceasefire and, you know, a free Palestine and a free Haiti as well. But I love the fact that the vice president obviously doesn't speak Spanish. Whoever around her speaks Spanish doesn't tell her that the song is essentially a protest song against her. And because she's a woke Democrat, she walks over to where the people are singing the thing she doesn't understand and starts applauding and clapping and smiling, because that's what you do. When you don't understand something, you overly support the people that you don't understand. That's woke 101. And it's so awesome to see someone literally applaud as she is being protested against in a sing-song foreign language. It's the kind of thing that I think does better than any other thing would, than any other example could, to show how inauthentic, how disingenuous all of these people are who are career politicians or just, you know, pandering to whatever woke people they want to vote for them. Here we go. You get the idea. It goes on for quite a while, but she's clapping, she's smiling, she's doing the weird Vice President Harris laugh thing that makes no sense. And here's what they're actually singing. We want to know, Kamala, what did you come here for? We want to know. The vice president is here making history. We want to know what she thinks of the colony. Long live free Palestine and Haiti too. They're essentially telling her, we don't trust you. We don't know why you're here, and we'd like for you to leave. And she's applauding it. She's clapping for as they go, and it's just awesome. All right, one last thing that I do want to kind of try to break down if I can. I thought this was pretty interesting. I think the Free Beacon is one of several places that has a deeper dive into this story. But our president lied about his political origin story, an origin story he's told a bunch of times. Apparently, he thinks he's like a superhero movie, and you got to keep redoing the origin story. But he basically makes up his involvement in a case when he was 23 years old that he absolutely was not involved in. And what's crazy about this is he told the special counsel, Robert Hur, that back in October. And so people are asking, hey, is he potentially on the hook for a felony here? Is this lying in a way that's, you know, going to get him in a lot of trouble? And there's two reasons that it probably won't end up being the type of lawsuit that maybe you and I think it should be. The first one is that it was not even remotely connected to the thing that Robert Hur was investigating as far as the special counsel goes and the classified document stuff. So it seems to have helped him that he essentially lied, or, you know, he wasn't under oath, but he basically could be tried as if he was. My favorite part of that is it made no sense to tell this story. And so it demonstrates how broken Biden's brain is. And that's option one for why they probably wouldn't go after him for this. And then my favorite from the experts, as far as option two goes, is it also would be a fairly aggressive thing to do to a current sitting president, something that you wonder, and you go back to the MSNBC audio I played or anything else earlier in the show, how they can say that stuff with a straight face, how anyone can say it and believe that, well, some of our individuals are entitled to be, you know, above certain laws, certain things, but several other of the individuals in our society, well, they're not. They're not allowed to be above any of this stuff. All right. One other non-political story that I just wanted to bring up kind of quickly. So there's this, I think it's a poll that goes back several years. It's a study that found that bullies, people who admit to doing that in school, actually wind up making more money than people who did not bully someone else in school. It's a weird, you know, Biff from Back to the Future actually had it right version of a 50-year study. But here's what I'll tell you is more important about it. I'm not propping up bullying. I'm not telling you to be proud of your kid if they, you know, beat the crap out of some other kid in the classroom or, you know, do something mean as a child. But what's funny to me is that if you live by the child rules that we want to instill in our society, you know, be nice to others, do this and that, then in the adult world, it does not benefit you. A less agreeable people make more money. They make more money because they fight for more money when the time comes to have a conversation about more money. I think Jordan Peterson is fairly famous as one of several people that talks about how the pay gap in, you know, our society, whatever it actually is, not what it's reported to be, between men and women is because men are more likely to be disagreeable. That doesn't mean that all women are nice and, you know, agreeable. Of course, there are exceptions in every conversation you have. But I just think that's fascinating that by and large, the data supports the idea that men make more money because they're willing to fight more. And that someone who was a jerk in school might be willing to be a jerk in adult life, and that might actually benefit them. So the irony to me is how so much of the woke society is begging you to live by the kid standard as an adult human, to ignore anything that doesn't make sense, to treat everybody nice, to tell everybody that they're special and lovely and wonderful. This is coming from a millennial, by the way, who got participation trophies very often in things that I did that were very dumb, and I often would throw them out. But I love the idea that when you get to a later stage in life, and we're seeing this in a lot of woke problems in our society, or data that screams this, Gen Z bringing their parents to negotiate their first job after they get out of college. That's real. That's a thing that's happening, is that essentially they're begging us to all behave like children again. And those of us that say no to that apparently are doing the best in life. And that should tell you how dumb a lot of this ideology is, that it's essentially the same thing that Blue's Clues is telling a four-year-old. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
The people who help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K. This is the Gen 3, and if you have previous iterations of this 9mm carbine, you're really going to love some of the enhancements of the Gen 3. First off, the Sub-2K folds in half, and previously you'd had to take your optics off to do so. Not anymore with the Gen 3. The simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating forend in either direction folds it right in half, and just as quickly and easily deploys it, optics and all. There's an upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned trigger mechanics. You got a light and 5-pound pull. You have upgraded action. There's a redesigned operating handle for added comfort as well. New chamber indicator. And it's made right here in the US of A. Florida family-owned company with those values. They're incredibly innovative. They have a passion for innovation, and it's evident in everything that they have. And you can see the Sub-2K Gen 3 reads a sub 2000 on their website. Go look at the website, go to a range, go to your FFL, go and try it out. It's the sub 2K Gen 3, KeltecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. This is the Dana Show, and this is the Quick Five. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back tomorrow. I thought this was interesting. A lot of flights are now being challenged because of the amount of people that don't want to fly on a Boeing aircraft. That or a lot of Boeing passengers are turning to, quote, medication, prayer, therapy to deal with the fears they have after a litany of flight issues on Boeing flights. Thankfully, people haven't, you know, crashed. So that's the thing that always makes me feel like some of this is overblown. I think it's a lot of Gen Z that is also saying they're trying to avoid flights or change their flights. But it does come at a time when the Boeing CEO, I guess someone who's finally going to be willing to step down, has also been bad about telling the truth, or bad about giving us a whole lot of transparency into what the heck is going on with Boeing. So I don't blame you. Whatever you do, if you need to put a bunch of prayers out there, have some sort of medication thing like they're saying, or just go even crazier, you know, do witch doctor, whatever voodoo stuff you want when you're on the plane to hope that everything goes okay. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm not changing my flight. I'll keep flying. I don't care what the plane is, and I hopefully never regret those words. Another of the quick five stories out there that I really love, a social media story went viral because a construction worker fell asleep during a haircut, and the guy's in his uniform, so who knows how much work he was doing and if it was like a third shift kind of thing where he's exhausted. I would never trust anyone, no matter how long I've been with a barber, to cut my hair while I was asleep. But the dude went viral, the video went viral, because he is passed out. And actually, my favorite part is if you're sleeping, especially sitting up in a chair, you're going to move around a lot. The head's going to move. And so the person doing the haircut seems like they're trying to adjust to the hair and not actually wake the person up. But again, I love that video. Jess the barber, I think, is the person that put it out there and said he was quite proud of his ability to cut the hair of someone who was asleep and also someone who seems like they're working a tough gig. Other stories out there. Do you have sunshine guilt? That's a real question. The young people are asking each other. This is when you decide to stay inside or decide to stay in bed or something when it's a nice day out. Apparently that causes sunshine guilt. Just get over it is probably my answer to that there. I think you probably can't have the sunshine guilt. Don't let it take over. Actually, you know what? It reminds me of another story real quick, that conservative young people are happier than liberal young people because they worry about less stuff. And I feel like sunshine guilt is one of many examples of worrying about a thing you don't need to worry about. And on that note, one last one. Do you have sexy water? Apparently, young people are trying to make their water sexy by putting fruit in it. That's something everybody's done. And also putting it in a nice cup. A cute cup is what they're saying. So sexy water, no flying on Boeing flights. The world is a mess if you're woke. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arne with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana's literally everywhere. DanaRadio.com, a great website to check out, or her social media pages, DLash and Dana Lash Radio on social media on X. Lots of things out there in the news to discuss. I thought this was interesting. Chuck Todd on Sunday got very upset at the idea that his network, how dare they, NBC and MSNBC, hire Ronna McDaniel, the former RNC chair. I'm no fan of Ronna. I think she was doing a terrible job as the chair of the RNC, but this is fairly typical. I mean, you have White House press secretaries that get jobs on places like MSNBC constantly, and no one complains that the person who was lying to the news media, because they had to, make sure to protect the administration at all costs all the time, wind up getting jobs if they're Democrats. If they're Republicans, of course, this is much worse. And Ronna McDaniel apparently is the tip of the iceberg, or the final straw, I should actually say, for a lot of these individuals. Here is what Chuck Todd said right after the interview aired. He told his colleague, it's not your fault. You're put in a terrible situation, and this is awful. But again, this is fairly typical in the world of how politics and media blend each other so quickly.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe.
Okay, Chucky.
She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea what any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to
I don't
to
know if she agreed to some of the stuff we said, because now she's getting paid for us. I don't know if her opinions are the same as they were before. I don't understand any of this. I'm mad.
And for the RNC, when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with. Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this.
Because yeah, what's that?
Many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting.
Is that because you guys also gaslight the RNC often, or you gaslight the politicians and just one side of the aisle is as consistently as you do? You make up things, and then when egg is on your face, you refuse to admit you got stuff wrong. Is that the issue? Is that the challenge, Chuck Todd, or is it something else? I love this. You know what? I say this very often about a lot of the things. When you do what I do, or what Dana does, or what anybody does, and I don't know that I do things anywhere near as well as Dana Loesch. She's way better, way more talented than me at this. But you see the inauthenticness. You see the crap in politics and the crap from these you know, television media, legacy media morons all the time, and how they say stuff that they don't believe. One of my favorite interviews recently, actually, has been a sit down between Tucker Carlson anyone and everyone that you expect to say one thing, and they wind up saying something totally different because so very often I think the belief now is that once you're free, and even Tucker, once he's free from any of the strings that might have been pulling him before, you feel like the conversation is more nuanced. You feel like the discussion is different. Megyn Kelly is another great example of that. And I wonder so often if these individuals, these people saying these things, even believe what they're saying, like Chuck Todd does. And how dare they? How dare they ever hire someone like Ronna McDaniel, who they can't trust, even though Jen Psaki and many, many others work there who had problems with the truth as well quite often. All right, let's do some vintage Trump, even though this is current Trump. He was being asked questions after the big announcement that the giant, ridiculous, almost $500 million bond that he had to place in order to appeal the decision in New York wound up being reduced to $175 million. Still a lot of money, but way less money than it was before. And then there's reporters asking all kinds of questions, trying to get insight into whether or not Trump actually has money. It's a media narrative that they need. They want to go after anything and everything they can. And honestly, have been doing this for years with the taxes and everything else, saying that Trump's actually broke. But here's the way he responded to a reporter saying, hey, now that you don't have to put $500 million in one place, are you going to put it into your campaign again? Are you going to put it into, you know, are you going to spend money on yourself? And Trump was in classic form.
Mr. President, you mentioned the cash you have. You said on Friday it's something like $500 million. You intended to put some of that into the campaign. Now that the bond's been reduced, are you going to start putting money into your campaign? Yeah. You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly. But I might do that. I have the option.
Yes, it is none of their business what and how much. And if he does it, it'll be public. You'll know about it. It won't matter. I love that so much. He's like, this is such a stupid question for me to be asked. And look, you might think I'm a giant Trump fanboy. I promise you I'm not. I'm also not a Trump hater. Trump doesn't live constantly inside my brain as this terrible, awful figure that mainstream news media wants him to be. But these are the reasons this guy gets elected. This is the reason that when a news reporter or whatever you call these people now, a quote unquote journalist, asks an out of nowhere question designed to try to trap Trump into saying he doesn't have money or he does, gets a reaction. It's none of your business. I don't know why you're saying this to me. Can you picture Biden doing that effectively at all? Can you picture many people who are quote unquote politicians doing that? No is the right answer. And that is why the popularity of Trump is what it is, even as he runs for president for a third time. All right. I want to play some Fonnie Willis stuff. This stuff was great. It actually went viral on social media. People were asking the question, was Fonnie Willis drunk when she did an interview with CNN? Not because she's like slurring words and stuff, but because the things she's saying seem impossible for anyone, including her, to believe. And yet it really seems to be that she believes this, that she thinks she's a role model still to people, that she's done nothing wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Here, I'll play a little bit of the audio.
I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. Let's say it for the record. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've done. You know, I guess my greatest crime is I had a relationship with a man, but that's not something that I find embarrassing in any way.
That is the most amazing oversimplification I've ever heard, by the way, of dating the person you hire to run the craziest RICO case in the history of Georgia, and then going on vacations with him where he pays for everything, and then you gave him back cash, air quotes. I love that. She's like, I dated a man. Who deserves to be in trouble for that?
And I know that I have not done anything that's illegal. And so I don't feel like my reputation needs to be reclaimed. And when I tell you the outpouring of women, and I'll tell you this, especially African-American women who will just say, we are so proud, you are such a good representative of us. But I would be lying to say it's only African-American women. I have
everybody.
Caucasian women, sure. Asian women, Indian women.
Essentially, We Are the World is being sung to Fani Willis on a daily basis by all of her supporters. This is crazy. This is ridiculous. I would not think of you as a role model, ma'am. And actually, you a few years ago wouldn't think of you as a role model. One of my favorite internet owns of someone where you dive into the audio and find the thing that somebody said that directly contradicts how they're living their life now is when Fani said that she would never, never be embroiled in a controversy where she would be dating someone that she worked with because of how bad that was for the last person that had her gig and how, you know, disgusting it is, or how your power was used to manipulate someone when a man in an authority position is dating a woman that works for him. None of that apparently is the case for Fani Willis, even though the same basic information is out there. One last thing, and I just wanted to touch on this quickly. I call it a palate cleanser in a way, if you will. But I saw that there's a story about how Baltimore City is going to allow for a program to sell vacant homes for a dollar. The desperation in selling these homes, I think more than 13,000 of them in parts of a community that is not necessarily somewhere that people will feel safe living, is ridiculous. The city owns close to 1,000 of these homes themselves. Individual buyers and community land trusts are eligible to buy these city-owned vacant houses for a dollar. Small profits can purchase the homes for $1,000. Developers and large nonprofit organizations have to pay $3,000 in order to buy these homes. But there's nothing that's going to go wrong here. There's no way that selling a bunch of abandoned, beat up, you know, homes in a bad area for $1 will cause things to get worse and not better. I'm sure it'll be just fine. I'm sure people will be very happy about how all that's going. And I do love the fact that they just say out loud that if you're a nonprofit, you pay this price. If you're an organization that's going to try to make money off of it, we need at least $3,000 from you. But if you're just a dude who wants a house in Baltimore, $1, $1 today only. Good luck to all of us as this whole thing plays out. Again, I don't really know, how many, if any, of these homes will actually be purchased. I'm guessing that they'll still struggle to sell them at a dollar a piece, and they have over 1,000. But nonetheless, you can see where all the problems arise, I assume. I can, of course. All right, I'll take a little break, a quick break early, and then we'll get to Florida Man, one of my favorite things that Dana does every day on the show. This is The Dana Show. I'm Craig Collins, filling in. A lot more in a bit.
As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is in existence. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. And they also want to make sure that the money you spend on your cell phone bill isn't actually going against you every single time that you go to the ballot box. And so to that effect, they put momentum behind the things that you vote to protect. They also want to make sure that you have a plan tailored to whatever it is that you need. You are helping to maintain and create U.S.-based jobs additionally, because they have all U.S.-based people, 100% U.S.-based customer service team. The whole crew is basically in Texas. And they have dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. I just found out during the break that producer Steven's a big baseball guy. I'm a big baseball fan, a giant Yankee fan, and the Yankees lost to a Mexican baseball team the other day. That's not a good look. Granted, not a lot of Yankees played, so hopefully they win. They play again today before the start of the season. And beyond that, actually, also, I think that the atmosphere has been crazy. That's not what we're going to talk about, though, Steven. This Shohei Ohtani story is nuts. So I guess this all is because of an ESPN scrapped, piece or document, something that they were going to put up on television that was going to accuse the interpreter of Shohei Ohtani, Ipe Mitsuhara, of just stealing a crap ton of money from him. Now the IRS is involved. A bunch of things are happening. There's also betting in baseball as a component here. The interpreter seems to have had way too much access to way too much of Shohei's money and did his own stuff with it and even gotten deep with the Sharks, apparently, paying off some of these gambling debts. Do you want to react to this, Stephen?
Yeah, it's interesting. He was supposed to address reporters today, and they have now and they have now changed it to just reading a statement. So, I mean, season starts in 4 days, so we'll see what happens.
Well, and dude, the control over this story, which comes from the whole Biden move of reading a statement or like having a list of reporters you have to ask questions and nobody else, it does seem as I don't know how it'll hit Shohei, how big of a deal it will be, if it's just the embarrassment of allowing money to be stolen or if there's something more significant there. It's betting in baseball. It's people closely tied to an athlete. So it feels like they could go a few roads. And as I said, I know both the IRS and Major League Baseball are now investigating this, and IPay is out of a job. All right, I'll go ahead and move on. Anything else you want to say about that story?
Oh, no, man? It'll be interesting to see where this plays out because, you know, he's the biggest star in the world. If he's suspended, the league does not want this to happen.
Oh, no. And you know what's also crazy to me? Just real quick, I'll say that the gambling debts for the interpreter, $500,000 is what the rumor is, $425,000. How does that happen? How do you get in that much debt as the dude who shouldn't be paid that kind of money to just interpret for a Shohei and follow him around? I don't have answers. I have questions there. All right, we can go to Florida Man. Do we have the Florida Man thing ready to go?
Yep, we'll do it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, I got a few Florida Man stories. The first one, I just love the headline. The other part's probably not as good. A Florida man called American Airlines passengers blue-eyed white devils. The guy, by the way, is a white guy, so I don't know why he did this the way he did. I think of a mixed descent. But anyway, he was very, very mad, and he was threatening to take down the plane. So eventually he got removed from the plane. But I'd almost take it as a compliment if I got called a blue-eyed white devil by anybody in Florida, because you feel like there's a level of importance there, as of course I'm not doing evil, terrible things, devil style. But he seemed to be utterly unhinged. So I just love the fact that that's the headline for a Florida man. And if today is your birthday, you actually can Google Florida man and the date you were born, and you're probably finding that story. And that is your official Florida man story if you've ever played the Florida man birthday game. I love that that's a real thing, too. Another one out there, court has ordered a Florida man to remove his shipping container boat from a lagoon in Florida. This dude apparently made a makeshift boat. He's had it docked at different places throughout Florida since 2021. His name is Fane Lozman. Apparently, the biggest problem with his sea vessel is that it's not seaworthy. He put windows in it. He put furniture in it. It's just shipping containers that he's cut to kind of sort of float that keep causing problems. I love the fact that he'd go to court and defend himself, though. He's like, hey, man, that's my boat. Leave my boat alone, as you somehow find a way to turn a shipping container or a few of them into something that doesn't completely sink to the bottom of the ground. In all honesty, I'm a little impressed with him. But yeah, it makes sense to ask for that to be removed. I can't stay there, especially since apparently several times it's just floated away from wherever it was docked and wound up causing problems for all kinds of people in these areas using their actual boats. I also can't help but envision what it would be like to be invited on a boat by this specific Florida man to show up at a marina and to see a shipping container with windows and furniture in it. And that guy being like, yeah, man, we're going to go for a day on the water. It's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. Is that a boat or what is that exactly? And he just tell you to shut up and you'll enjoy. I don't know if he's actually sailed it at all. That's the other part that I seem to love about this. And finally, one last Florida man story. A man carjacked an ambulance in Tampa. Then he crashed it, according to the cops. This happened about 2 a.m., I don't know why anyone would target to take a vehicle like this, of course. You cause a lot of harm. There's an element to this that's not as funny as some of the other Florida man stories are. But at the same time, it seems like it makes utter sense that you steal this thing, you crash it, and then you wind up getting arrested. The only thing that would have made it more Florida man, in my opinion, like a better version of the same story, is if he had crashed it into a police office, into a police department, because that happens all the time. The criminals, and I think especially in Florida, take the vehicle and go to the place where they're going to get arrested. I think one guy even got arrested for breaking into a jail, which to me is awesome. And the only thing that you see or things that you see way more often in Florida than anywhere else. But again, this guy decided to steal an ambulance. Maybe it's the same guy who has a shipping container boat and then went on a joyride until he crashed it and caused a lot of headaches and issues for a lot of people. There's a, I think, court case coming up, and the guy's going to be in a whole lot of trouble, which hopefully they throw the book at this dude. He was driving a Chevy Tahoe before he decided to upgrade to the rescue vehicle. I'm not sure what that says about him. All right, we'll take a break. A lot more coming up. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. You can find Dana everywhere. DanaRadio.com, great website to go to. D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on social media, on X, on Twitter, all kinds of stuff. She's on YouTube. She's on all the things. Makes sense. Incredibly talented person. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm thrilled to be here for just a day filling in for her. First, let's do this. Trump is once again saying that the Biden administration has weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. I'll play a little bit of audio from the former president, but I will tell you that if we rewound the clocks, a few years, and you heard Trump say a lot of the things he believed to be the problem with the quote unquote deep state, you'd think to yourself, and a lot of liberals definitely thought to themselves, I wonder how much of this is true. I wonder how much of this is exaggerated. I wonder where the line actually is. And a whole lot of Americans believe that Washington is corrupt. That's not something that you have to convince many people on either side of the aisle of, but just how crazy and how corrupt it is. And now you fast forward to where we are right now and the amount of moves that have been done that have gone after Trump, whether or not some courtroom somewhere will prove something he did actually was wrong or not so much of that. It plays so well into the conversation that the former president was having when he got elected in 16 and his entire time as a political figure. So you just wonder why the Democratic Party or, you know, this administration is doing this. I think they're benefiting Trump more than anything else, taking properties of his, trying to remove him from a ballot and getting a 9-0 judgment from the Supreme Court. All of these seem to back the idea that what happens to Trump is unique and unfair and only because he's Trump and not because they couldn't do it to other people too. But here's a little bit of what Trump said today, talking about the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI.
You take a look at any one of them and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do that. They raided my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end.
Look, the way that Trump speaks is unique, but when he says raided it 3, 4, 5 times, he sounds like anyone else that would have dealt with something like that and been totally confused as to why it happened. They raided my house. And then I guess you add on top of that, that he's a former president. It becomes even more surreal and more insane. And just one of the many examples that I think very much plays into and benefits Trump as he runs for reelection. I'll say it again. And I'll probably be a broken record about this anytime you hear from me on any of this stuff. But the truth is that no matter what you think and what you feel about a rematch of the 2020 election between Trump and Biden, the absolute difference between the two individuals is the amount of things that have happened to Trump, not the things that Trump has done, but the things that have happened that he had no choice in, have benefited him with the, you know, I would say enthusiasm of the party, the base, if that's what you want to call it. There are a lot of people on a certain side of the aisle that are not upset at this rematch because of how many things have gone so ridiculously crazy that you almost want to put Trump back in office. He's like Rudy in that movie, or like, I don't know, the Hoosiers playing basketball. You name the sports movie with the underdog. It seems like the amount of attacks at him have caused a lot more enthusiasm, a lot more interest than anything you have on the Democratic side of the aisle with a person whose brain is broken, or at least needs to be broken so that he's not actually held responsible in a courtroom for taking his own classified documents. Let's move over to this. This is Morning Joe. Talking about Joe Scarborough, how he's never going to have the former RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel, on his show, even though NBC hired her and MSNBC is going to have her as a, you know, a contributor. He'll never do it because she's an awful, terrible person. I'm no fan of Ronna McDaniel. I do not think she was doing well for the Republican Party as the head of the RNC. I think a lot of the complaints about her made sense. I will say, though, it's a fairly typical move to go from politics to media and certainly bias one-sided media like a MSNBC certainly is. But what I find so funny about it is how seldom you get criticism from all these same voices when like literal White House spokespeople wind up getting jobs. Jen Psaki didn't tell the truth every day when she was working for the Biden administration. She protected the administration. She, quote unquote, gaslit anyone who was asking questions that knew they were being lied to as she did it. But she's very comfortably got a job and probably is also going to be high and mighty about refusing to have Ronna McDaniel on. But here's what Morning Joe said.
Let's talk about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since the NBC and since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend.
No, inundated. They heard from all five of their listeners, all five of their viewers.
Most people connected with this network about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several.
And no one cares, by the way, if you had been asked internally. Here's the thing. And I don't, again, I want to make sure you understand. I don't think Ronna McDaniel deserves a spot in TV or needs to be a voice that exists. But what I love is the idea that people in these places, in media or wherever it is you want to say that they have influence, they don't want to have a two-sided conversation. They hate the idea of it. They actually so much, you know, deplore it that they want to do everything they can to equate a two-sided conversation to actual lying and damage done to our society. That's all this would be. Ronna and her opinions, and probably changed opinions because of who's cutting a check to her, would some way, shape, or form sort of kind of reflect the conservative opinion. It's like The View and how they always have a quote-unquote conservative host on the channel or on the show. But in reality, it's just more of the same crap. Even in that interview that was done the other day over the weekend, you had Ronna McDaniel saying some things that she didn't say exactly the same way when she was at the head of the RNC that she is saying differently now. It makes no sense, I guess is all I'm saying. And I do love the outrage, and I'd almost call it faux outrage on a lot of these topics because these people know how ridiculously, you know, hypocritical they are, and they just don't care. And they truthfully do not want to end a conversation with, I agree to disagree, which actually I think plays into something else that's out there in the world. And it's sort of twofold. So there's these two stories. This is a bit of a pivot from the basic news of the day. I'll get back to Trump and his, you know, reduced deposit that he'll have to put, or bond that he'll have to place in order to challenge that first lawsuit out of New York that was crazy and $500 million. But I do want to say that there's these two stories that I think are connected. One is about young conservatives and how much less stressed they are than young Democrats, than young liberals, than woke people. People who identify as politically over here, I think, accept one thing and accept it very strongly, that they may never change your opinion, whoever you are out there in the world. And they don't care about that. They don't mind disagreeing with you. They don't mind if you'll never come to some sort of consensus. And they don't even care if you want to stay friends or not be friends based on that stuff or whatever else you want to say about it. And Democrats have all these different challenges that need to be checkboxed a certain way in order to stay inside the club, stay inside the group. So I'm not remotely surprised that there's data that says the conservatives are happier or less stressed than liberals are, especially when liberals also talk about the end of days, whether it's climate change or anything else out there that's going to essentially end our society as we know it. The other story is about people of faith and how much happier they are. What I thought was really interesting in the article I found the other day is that so much scientific research now just assumes that because there's been so many studies that prove it to be true. That people who have faith in something, It doesn't have to be a specific faith. Wind up being happier, wind up in their lives being more fulfilled than people who don't have any sort of faith to lean on, especially when things get harder in life. And I find that so unique, how those two roads could merge, because of course, conservatives are more likely to be people of faith than Democrats. Data supports that. I'm not saying something that's untrue. And so when you think about all these variables, when you think about, and I'm Catholic, I'm not going to overly preach to you, but I'll put that out there if you want. And you think that you can give something every so often that's challenging in your life to, say, some higher power or something you believe in. You cannot worry about the things in our society that people are telling you that are the most important, even if they don't impact your life at all. Most people can see that. And so it all just feels like it fits together and it makes sense. And it makes you believe that the world we're in right now and the conversation we're having is going to fundamentally change at some point. And I say this because I also see on social media all the time now, no matter what the platform is, young people having political debates with each other. And there are actually people that are supporting Trump or supporting Biden that go viral in how they do it. And I do think that's interesting. I do think this call to say, hey, this stuff is so insane, it's broken, is going to wind up benefiting as much as anything else one side of the political aisle. All right, one last topic too. And I just thought this was also an important thing to throw out there into the ether, into the world. Micro apartments, low-cost housing concepts that really were popular in the early 1900s are becoming all the rage throughout a lot of our country, a lot of our society. 1,800 square foot rooms that essentially have air mattresses in them and all sort of things are being bought by more and more people. And this seems to demonstrate something that I believe will be proven tomorrow when the consumer mood comes out, when we get an idea as to what you and I believe to be the value of our economy or the value of our dollar. Last month, consumer beliefs shrunk. People have negative thoughts of the world in which we live in or the economy in which we live in. And so stuff like this just seems to exactly demonstrate that if you were to be living, and if this is because you're in a big city and refuse to move, in a 180 square foot single room apartment, especially if you have kids, and thinking to yourself, man, this is bad. Society has gotten broken. Who do you think you're voting for? What ticket do you think you're punching in that scenario? If one person is offering to return back to an economy that was much better, where people were literally doing better and acknowledge it no matter what side of the political aisle they're on, or a version of the apartments getting tinier and tinier and tinier. And then eventually, I guess you basically just live outside. All right, we'll take a break on that. A lot coming up on the show. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Here we go. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Let's do as many of the quick five as I can get to. A coffee compound apparently is causing muscles to stay young as we age. This is according to a study, I think, out of Singapore. I love whenever these stories come up. I'm not much of a coffee drinker. My wife loves coffee. Couldn't ever be parted with coffee. Anything else in this world, I think she'd give up, including me, before the delicious caffeine of coffee. But I love this. Roughly 1 in 4 adults over 65 have certain health issues. But if you're a consistent coffee drinker, which I feel like a lot of people are, especially if you're someone who goes with black coffee, doesn't add in the stuff that I guess makes it closer and closer to what I like, a delicious energy drink that's terrible for you, then apparently you're doing okay. Muscle health and all kinds of other things. I think there's a mental health components and a mental acuity. Maybe that's what they need to do with Biden. Just inject him with a whole bunch of coffee. Like I assume they gave him some sort of upper or something before his State of the Union address. And maybe that would slowly make him better. I doubt it, but you never know. This study, though, from the National University of Singapore, yet another reason, and published, by the way, in Nature Metabolism magazine. Their swimsuit issue is fantastic. That was a weird joke. But anyway, apparently this is yet another of many stories that simply tell me that my wife is right and that coffee is delicious and she should never stop drinking it. I'll pass this on to her and she'll be thrilled. She won't care about anything else I talk about today other than that. Another thing I saw out there that's hilarious to me, a Roseville police recovered a bunch of items from thieves who I guess broke into a grocery store. Now, here's the weird thing. They chose to steal some things that I assume people would take. Alcohol, one of those items. Instant coffee, actually another one. And then they also took all the spam in the building. And I don't really know why. $9,000 of food, including a ridiculous amount of spam, was recovered. People have been arrested. Charges are going to be filed. I don't think spam is steal-worthy. I feel like there's food items that I don't hate, that I ate probably more as a kid than I do now. But there's a different platform or a different, you know, tier level for things that you should steal and things that you don't need to steal. And spam would never be on my steal list. It would I think I would have to be out of all other food to actually take that. Again, not advocating for stealing, just saying I'm surprised. I'm sure there's some spam lovers out there, especially deep fried spam, which I know is a thing. I've never tried it. Not really sure what to think about it. But nonetheless, I do love that story and how odd the decision-making was. It was like an episode of Supermarket Sweep where you just grab whatever you can and leave. That's not how the thieving has to go, but that's how they did it. And I'm glad they got caught for it. Another story I saw, I thought about saving this for the end of the show when we talk about stupid news, but I can't help it. And there's a component to this that I hope is better than it is. But a Gen Z couple went viral for talking about how they're shocked to find out that after 1 week of dating, they're expecting a child. And I immediately thought of Maury and or Jerry Springer. I guess that's not a component to the story because I'd have some questions if I were the guy in this situation. But darn it, that's how I'll end this for now. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back tomorrow. The Supreme Court will weigh a doctor's challenge to removal of the abortion pill safety regulations that is in place. The FDA versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine is the case. That'll start tomorrow. I feel like the Supreme Court is either being injected into the news mostly by legacy media that is mad at the decisions at times the Supreme Court makes. Not all the time. Sometimes they make a decision that definitely refutes the idea that they're overwhelmingly conservative in their decision making, and then everybody ignores those cases. But also, I think the Supreme Court is handling a lot of important issues. So there is a valid and a important reason to have a discussion about the things that they're, you know, reviewing, including, of course, this case and whether or not it is actually a safety issue to have the serious complications that are caused by certain drugs that you can get to, you know, do the pill version of an abortion. And I know that that becomes charged and everybody talks about all the other stuff going on in that world and that conversation. And I'll just say that, again, to me, sort of the amazing part is how often the news media is either trying to vilify the Supreme Court or ignore it as they do deal with a lot of issues. One of my favorite is the 9-0 decision that said that Trump is allowed to stay on ballots here in the United States. You can't remove them at a state level. That seemed crazy. And then my favorite other reaction to that is when Democrats said they were going to try to change some rules so they were allowed to do it again, which I thought was amazing. Speaking of crazy Democratic takes out there, James Carville said something that I'm sure parts of it people will agree with, but then there's other parts where he said stuff that makes no sense. Carville did an interview with the New York Times, of course, longtime Democratic strategist, where he said the biggest problem with the Democratic Party today and the low polling numbers is listening to too many, and I'm quoting him, so don't shoot the messenger, preachy females. That's the issue. There's too many beta males, I guess, in that party that listen to the preachy things that someone says, and then they're like, all right, that's fine. Yeah, you're right. Men can compete in women's sports. That'll be fine. No issues will be caused there, et cetera, et cetera. I found that hilarious. I don't think that opinionated people, men or women, are quote unquote preachy by design, but I do think there are some people, and I don't know if I'm now agreeing with James Carville to my own detriment. It seems more often than not that there is a disproportionate amount of these individuals who are of one sex and not the other, who say a lot of things and demand a lot of, you know, agreement from society. And if not, you can shut up and get out, I guess. But I thought that was interesting. Carville even went on to equate it the low poll numbers, the struggle that the president has been having with his base of supporters, and also the crazy woke ideology of the left with being like walking in on your grandma naked. That's James Carville. His words, not mine. That would be very disturbing. And not many people, I think, would feel even remotely the same. Your life would change forever, and not in a good way if that occurred. But again, that's him. He's saying the stuff. Shoot the messenger. Don't shoot me. Even if part of it makes a whole lot of sense to me. And it's not just, I think, women. I will say this. I think there are a lot of, and I think this is the best term for it, beta men who just want to say whatever it is they think the one woman in their life wants to hear, that go out there and be very, very vocal as well about these crazy ideas and these one-sided conversations. A person who I wouldn't describe as a beta male, even though Bill Maher very often leans on a very specific side of the political aisle. But he has no problem making mad his own base of viewers. Case in point is the most recent rant he went on about how the race issues that are a core part of the Democratic Party need to just go away. We need to stop looking at what separates us and start looking at what binds us together. Maher actually sounds a lot like Rush Limbaugh in some of this take here. I want to play a little bit of it. And I do love a shot he took, a joke he made about California's very strange segregated kidnapping alert system. But here's a little bit from Maher, who often makes some on the far left very mad, even though he always advocates to vote Democratic and not Republican, even though he seems to also hate a core aspect of the Democratic Party right now. Here we go.
An outdated racial pandering is one reason Democrats lose elections. When Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi put on kente cloth, I don't think it earned them one vote for their powerful emotional ties to Donna. Here in California, we're now segregating kidnapping. Really? California doesn't just have Amber Alerts for missing children. We have Ebony Alerts for black children and Feather Alerts for Native American kids. What is that? We look for them by listening on the ground?
I gotta say, that's a pretty interesting shot. Pretty good shot. And yes, Maher goes on to say that you probably should just look for kids who are missing, and it shouldn't be relevant, the makeup of the child, whether the child's a boy, girl, whether the child is, you know, of a certain ethnicity, a certain race. And what I find so funny about that is, to some people, that's controversial, and Maher will probably get backlash from his side of the aisle. But it's the most basic, simple view of our society. And very often now, the things that become the most challenging to discuss with whoever your liberal friends are, or conservative friends, I guess, if you're a hardcore lefty. But whatever it is, it seems like it's really become the most fundamental of conversations. The other great example that's been going on and talked about a lot is, should men be allowed to play women's sports? I can't believe in 2024 we're having that discussion. Not because I want to go, you know, hardcore myself and say things that people would accuse me of purposefully being offensive. That's not the intention of it, but just the reality of that conversation. We have two different sports. We have a men's and a women's version of sports for a reason. Men are better than women at sports. It's biological in nature. So if men compete against women in sports, they'll do well, and that's not really fair. And if you are the parent of someone who tries really hard for years and years and years, whatever the sport might be that you play, swimming is a good example, gets all the way to the collegiate level, becomes one of the best, and then winds up losing to someone who had a genetic benefit or genetic reason to defeat you, I can't think of how defeating that would be. And in a society that did the Me Too movement and all this other stuff to try to say that, like, you know, women's voices need to be heard, we're now silencing anyone and everyone of, that group of individuals, that sex in our society, simply because we don't like the idea that something that is unfair is something we, you know, can say out. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just essentially the biggest challenge is addressing reality and addressing it without pretending that parts of it are choose your own adventure, a version of a thing. And it's just amazing. Again, illegal immigration in this country. It's illegal. Should people be coming into our country illegally? The answer should be no. Apparently, it's more nuanced to some than that. All right, let me do a palate cleanser that I like a lot as just sort of a side note thing before we, you know, take a break and do more stuff in a few minutes. I love this story. I can't get over it. So apparently there's an 8-year-old kid in Indiana. His name is Jackson, and he loves farming. He doesn't just love farming. He loves John Deere equipment. He loves all kinds of stuff. There's a video of him checking out a John Deere tractor at a farm show, making all kinds of observations. I think even telling a dad joke. It's funny. It's charming. And what's great about it, and the fact that it's gone viral and that it's an 8-year-old kid, and how a lot of people are saying they remind them of a family member who's in their 60s and has been a lifelong farmer, is how rare this sort of thing is now and how important these industries are in our society. It feels like maybe pandering to say it this way, but it's true. We need farmers. We need them real bad. We need law enforcement. We need cops. We need a lot of people that at times, whether it's vilifying in the world of law enforcement or just sort of leaving off to the side in the world of farmers and whatnot, a lot of the young people in society just don't seem to get that. So it is awesome to see an 8-year-old kid that has a deep appreciation. And I guess he even popped up on a farm podcast, Farm for Profit, where he talked about why he so loves not just the, you know, things that we all liked as kids. I like tractors as toys and stuff. I didn't know how to actually do anything with the tractor. So I'm really impressed. And I just really love that story and how viral that seems to have gone and how many people seem happy about it. But I guess if I'm bah humbugging it just a bit, if I'm just having one negative, maybe I shouldn't have it reaction. It scares me that it's special enough to go viral. That's what I would say about it, is that if there were a lot more kids like this, it wouldn't be the fascination of the internet. And I think there really should be a lot more kids like this for our benefit as a society as a whole. All right. Before I break, actually, one last quick thing I'll say. The Boeing CEO is going to step down amid a slew of safety concerns. Dave Calhoun is his name. He will be done at the end of 2024. He sent a message to his employees today about that. And then that quickly got out and went all kinds of places. Boeing is definitely under fire. And definitely, it seems, struggling to be transparent about the challenges they're facing in just basic levels of security. If you have something called a door plug, it shouldn't pop off during a flight. That seems bad. And if you have a lot of people that want to change their flight now to not be on a Boeing airline, which is true, or people that, you know, bring smelling salts along with them or all kinds of different things, prayer books and whatnot, if they are flying on a Boeing jet, is even further proof that things are bad. I will say that I'm not as afraid as many are because we haven't had the truly horrific thing happen. But I do think that people like the CEO should probably be stepping down if they're refusing to answer questions when things are getting dangerously close to a world we haven't seen in a long time in the airline industry. We sort of just take for granted how easy it is to get from one destination to another in the tremendously high, you know, likelihood that everything is safe. That exists in the airline industry. And it sort of reminded me of this kid, this little 8-year-old that loves farming, is maybe some of these skill sets are, you know, evaporating in our society and causing some of these problems. Maybe the skirting around certain safety precaution stuff is because of a lack of ability to do it well as Boeing, because less and less people are gravitating to those fields. I don't know. I'm not trying to excuse the behavior. You got to make stuff work and you got to make it start work correctly. But I wonder that. And especially when you hear about how much of a struggle it is in so many communities in our society to hire cops, many, many police precincts throughout the United States right now are aggressively trying to hire cops, offering huge bonuses if a cop moves from one, you know, community to another community, which is great. They deserve the raise. I'm all for that. I'm very pro cop. At the same time, it's not fixing the issue of us having staffing issues, us having, you know, people that aren't gravitating toward that industry. And it's because you vilify it. It's because a lot of media or a lot of, you know, mainstream woke ideology says to focus on the bad and not the good. And that is terrifying to me as well, because it's causing a lot of these safety issues we're seeing in our society. If you want a safe community, you need cops to have a strong presence in the community, both in a positive way and in a fighting the bad guys way when that time occurs too. All right, we'll take a quick break. A little bit more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana Lash is back tomorrow. Follow her on social media everywhere, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio. A couple great places to find her on Twitter, on X, and then also her website, her social media pages, her YouTube channel. There's so many things. She's all over the place and very deserving of it. She's awesome. But she's back tomorrow. I saw this story as far as some dumb things I saw in the news to end the show on. And I loved this one. I didn't know that people still really did the self-help column thing, like the Dear Abby thing. I thought people just shaded each other on social media or went to some of my favorite places on Reddit, like Am I the Jerk or Am I the A Word is what it actually is. But this person wrote in to a Dear Abby and asked a pretty amazing question. And I know this is radio. I know I got to clean it up a little bit. It's a tad adult in nature. But a guy wrote in with a question saying that he had had an intimate experience with his direct superior, a woman, on a business trip. He said one thing led to another and he thought it was fun, but he doesn't want it to continue after the one-off fun time. Here's the part that I couldn't get over this. He's complaining that the boss seems to now have genuine interest in him and is trying to continue to flirt or maybe bring him on more business trips. And he wants all that to end. I don't know how you say that it's the other person's fault. And I know that it's a tricky territory. HR would have a field day with this. But if you go so far as to actually have the one night stand and then be like, man, it's getting out of hand now. Some about that's amazing to me. I love that idea that it, and apparently the person was not, you know, tricked into or forced to do anything. Very happy. Had a good time. I just would like that time to be in the background now. To give credit to the person in the Dear Abby column, they said for the boss's own career benefit, it probably is something that should stop happening because, you know, it could get this person in trouble. But this has got to be the new version, the dating app, you know, casual dating life that we're all in version of, man, my boss is flirting with me too much. And all I did to make that a thing that started happening is sleep with them that one time. That's insane to me. I can't get over that. Another dumb story I saw out there. Apparently, finally apprehended. This is a criminal, a thief, someone who's been taking a lot of cars, but also someone who had a very unique description of them. This is the underwear bandit who was caught by police in a hilarious video that went viral online. Not a lot of good audio, so I'll tell you to go look up the video if you want to. But late last night at approximately midnight, the people at CM Motors located a missing vehicle, and the person behind the wheel was a dude wearing underwear on his head. I think he had clothing on as well. I don't think he was naked beyond it. But I will tell you, and I've said this before when I talk about crazy stories like this, I would be more intimidated by the criminal who's missing clothing or the criminal who puts, you know, underwear on their head than I would be by the dude who's like twice my size. I feel like the crazy person is more unpredictable in that world. And I don't know why a lot of criminals get naked before they commit crimes, but it happens. There's enough that I could do a whole segment called Naked News, where people unfortunately lose their clothing at some point while committing a crime. But this to me is a whole different area avenue where you just put it on top of the head. All right. I have one other piece of audio, too, for another stupid news story to close the show. Do we have an intro for this one? I can't remember if we do. Steven. All right, go ahead. Do a stinger. Nice. That's it. This is the stupidest story of the day to me. Chick-fil-A is embroiled in a controversy because they're changing their chicken from no antibiotic chicken to no antibiotic that is, you know, a harmful to human chicken, which is a very long name. And there's many, many young people very upset about this in social media. It doesn't matter. You're not going to taste the difference. I don't think it's important. But here's one person just very upset with this.
Start selling antibiotic chicken.
No!
We have no antibiotics whatsoever in its chicken. And now it's changing that policy starting spring of 2024. Now, Chick-fil-A says it's making this move to maintain the supply of high-quality chicken that you can expect.
Uh-huh.
Let's translate. It's cheaper to use chicken with antibiotics.
And we're all going to die. Or we're not, probably. Everything's going to be fine. But anyway, you'll be great, Chick-fil-A controversy. Ignore the haters. See you later. Craig Collins on The Dana Show.